da 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 da.
You sound insane.
You realize that?
Yeah.
The whole world gone crazy.
Are you serious?
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's showtime.
Well, we're finally here. Finally at the list episode for 2023. It's my favorite episode that we do in these 365 days that we spend podcasting every single year. So if you've made it this far, at least a year, congratulations. You've made it a decade plus now, even more congratulations. You are first in line for a Medal of Honor. But welcome, if this is your first time with us. We do this every week, talking about current movies here on the main feed and throwback movies of the past on our Patreon VIP feed. So make sure you hit subscribe and thanks for joining us as we count down the worst and best movies of the past year as we're just about, I don't know, a month and a half away from the Oscars, something like that. So this will probably be the last convo we have about this until our Oscars postgame show, which comes out right after the Oscars. So after you watch the Oscars the next morning, just throw on the podcast and we'll talk about it together. But fellas, welcome in to another Rants and Raves end of the year episode. Feels good, doesn't it?
Woo. Woo. Here we are. Wow. Crazy. Doing this again, I guess. We're just going to keep doing this, huh? All right. Okay.
Yeah, I told you guys, you got 11 years out of me. That is it.
Well, that's a good transition to my first question before we dive into the lists here, which is, how would you summarize the year? Do you have any big thoughts on the year that was, now that we've watched everything, tallied up the lists, we've brewed our coffee, we're sitting here? What's the first thing on your mind, Brian?
I thought this was a good year. I enjoy, like, I, you know, we make these things. I keep track in Letterboxd all year. I got through, you know, a good chunk of movies, and I gave out a ton of 5 and 4.5 star reviews on Letterboxd. That's usually, you know, that's a good mark. For me, there was one great movie and then several very, very good movies. Here's it really how I measure this as far as, like, was it a good year or not? Number one, again, was there a great movie or two great movies or whatever? And I think there was. And when I am making my list of my top 10, how many movies do I want to squeeze into an honorable mention? Just as like a quick, like, here's, and I probably had like 10. So that's good. That's a really good year. And moreover, if there's a third way to look at it for me, it's how many just like truly abysmal, terrible movies did I see this year out of 140? And I saw some bad movies this year. There's not a ton of them though that are going to be like, that's like an all-time bad. Like in the history of man, this goes on the list. You know, there's not a ton of that. And that's, so good year. I enjoyed it overall. It was better in hindsight than it felt necessarily at times through the course of the year, I think. So
yeah.
I had the exact same experience. I actually logged all these on Letterboxd. My New Year's resolution is to...
Wow.
I got into Letterboxd for about a month, and then COVID happened, and I just got out of practice. But I decided I'm going to start writing little reviews and also ranking things in lists. And actually, because I do things in a spreadsheet, and it's like, well, this is so much prettier to do it on this other thing, so why don't I do that? Same thing. I actually thought of this year as a little disappointing until I ranked everything. And yeah, same. Like, I had movies I thought would have been in my top 10 that are like 15 to 20, you know? To put it in like basketball terms, Brian, for your purposes, it's like you probably don't win a title with this team because your number one isn't that great, but like you're a really good regular season playoff team. Like, you're going to win a lot of games because of the depth that you have. You're a great football team. There's a lot of depth here. I think I was looking at this like two great movies that and obviously things can rise. There's actually one thing that jumped away on my list on a second viewing this week. A few things may rise to great status, but like two great and then, yeah, like 20 goods and two very goods actually. And then, yeah, there's a couple movies I really did not like this year. But that's actually less, I dislike those less than some of the others years. So yeah, on the whole, pretty strong year.
Nice.
Of 2023 movies, I only saw like 50 something, which is pretty much everything we did episodes on. I don't seek things out as much as you do, but
totally.
But,
yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, I when I was whittling down my list, I was surprised how many strong ones there were, how hard it was to make this list, to narrow it down to 10, which ones were going to be in the 10. But it feels, I feel the opposite, Richard. I feel like this is an NBA team. We're an all-star team. My top five, I feel like, are classic. I mean, great movies that we'll be talking about, for years to come. So it was hard for me to even rank the top five on how I was going to order them. Mm. But I feel like when I finally hit save, I feel like I favored heavily the favoritism this year, maybe over some years past, but that might not be the case. So I'm excited about this. But we can't start this list without starting at the bottom with the bottom 10. So I think we should start with the person who probably saw the most movies this year. According to my letterbox, I didn't log documentaries and some other things that I watched.
Sure.
But I felt like things that are relevant to the show, I did log. I had a shout out Luka Doncic, 77 movies.
Nice. Oh, nice.
So this would be number 67 through 77 or so on the list. Yeah.
Sure.
But we'll go bottom 10 here, and I'll start us off. I wasn't on this episode, but I did see and it made it to number 10 on the bottom 10. Dungeons and Dragons.
What?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, did not love it.
Wow, that's shocking, dude.
Yeah, that's like middle of my list. That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I've got that one well closer to the top than to the bottom.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, we're starting off hot then.
Starting off hot.
Yeah, didn't love it. Didn't want to be in this universe anymore.
That's your 10th worst, right? Not your 10th
worst. Not the worst, yeah. Yeah, there's 10 more that are worse than that.
Now I wish you were on the episode.
It was right next to...
Hot takes, yeah.
It was right next to Aquaman. That was the 11th worst.
Yeah. Wow.
Which I said I kind of enjoyed it on the episode. The so
yeah,
overall, I will say this is still a top heavy year. Like even the bad movies aren't like some of the worst ones we've talked about. So it's a borderline good movie. Yeah, at number 10 for me.
Okay,
where we're falling with this year. So go ahead with your number 10, Brian.
Number 10 for me is Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom.
Okay, there we go.
Did not like the movie at the time. I think I like it less even now. It like the more I thought about it, the more I felt like not only was it bad, but also nothing happened. Just nothing happened. It's just a repeat of the first movie, and I did not like the first movie. So I certainly am not going to like the second movie. But at least it's over now. At least it's over, and we can.
What if you were just all in after this one, and they stopped making them? This is the one that just won everybody over. It makes $3 billion. They're like, dang. That's what Richard was saying. Yeah. Like, he hopes it's
I was rooting
success
for it.
Just
I was
for chaos.
Just
yeah.
to screw with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would have been so cool.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. What about you, Richard? Number 10.
Number 10 for me. This one hurts, guys. There's a lot of disappointment in this one. This is a disappointed dad voice. But I honestly did not think this would be even close until I started ranking the stupid blame Letterbox, not me. Fast X.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Richard, what have we come to?
I know.
Are you okay, bud? It's been tough.
You know, it shows though that this is not a biased show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That we I know everyone thinks we're in the pocket of whatever, but
of big fast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big fast.
We can still be independent.
Big,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But that one hurt.
That is. We are definitely aging on this show. If the fast doesn't even, make it in the middle of the list, it doesn't have to be at the top.
I thought it would be. I thought it'd be in like the 20s or 30s for me and started putting them out. I was like, nope, I like that more than that. I like that more. And again, it's more disappointed than angry. But we did a good job avoiding a lot of crap this year. And I have a little kid, so I wasn't like seeking out. If we didn't have to do an episode on it, I didn't seek stuff out. So there might be a few things I see, and maybe my list will change a bit. But as of right now, that's in the bottom 10. I can't Can't argue. Not trying to defend it. You know what? It's in my bottom 10. Wasn't very good. And that's okay.
Yeah.
There's been other bad Fast movies, and they've rebounded, so.
Sure.
Well, we got more. Yeah, it's absolutely true. All right, my number 9 on this list. Now we're getting to the bad stuff here. The Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That's pretty bad.
That's gonna come up later.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'll let Brian. I can tell Brian has something on that, so we'll go on to him with his number 9.
Okay. Number 9 is a movie I doubt either of you guys saw. I don't know why I saw it other than it popped up on our Plex server on a day where I was working from home, and I was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll pop that on. That's fine. And then sometimes with bad movies, you just kind of put them on in the background or while you're playing video games or something. You're like, yeah, this is bad, but you know, whatever. I can continue doing life. And then sometimes you're watching a bad movie and you're just like, I found myself. So I guess kudos to everybody involved, because it sucked me in, but only based on me being like, why is this happening? Why is this a movie that is happening? It's called Jewels. It is the Ben Kingsley joint. Where it's got Jane Curtin, so you know, maybe that should have been my first cue, but it's three old people who have an alien. It's like E.T. for old people, except terrible, just genuinely terrible. And then they, spoiler alert, then they just start killing cats just left and right for the purposes of feeding the alien, I think, or powering the alien ship. Regardless, not a fan. Not a fan. Very bad movie.
Not an Alf fan, I take it, either.
Alf would be great. I'm in the bag for Alf. Kill cats for Alf. Kidding. We get it. Yes. We understand. It's just...
That's just the food
Jewels
chain.
Is no Alf, okay? Right. That's the deal. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not
understand. Alf is an apex predator. Like, you just got to respect.
I hear they're rebooting that with Ryan Reynolds, and that's actually genius. I hope that happens. Yeah. He seems like he'd be a good Alf.
This is a pro-Alf podcast. Yeah,
100%. I did see Jewels.
Oh, okay.
And I did not know what was going on with Ben Kingsley in that movie. Yeah, that was
odd. It was very odd.
Very tough to get through. Took a couple sittings, you know. Pause, come back, you know.
Which is what you want from an 80-minute movie.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Right. But I had to. The UFO element, I had to watch that one, and it was quite rough. Right. I agree. Sure. Richard, number 9.
Number 9 for me is a bit of a trend on these. A lot of misses in this type of film this year. The kind of cynical box office grab. And that is, number 9 for me is The Little Mermaid.
Oh, it's my number 8, so okay. Perfect transition. Wow. Yeah.
Number 8, races. I'm woke. I had it 9.
Yeah. So. The more I think about that one too, is especially the scuttlebutt. I hate it even more. So that's my memory, is the scuttlebutt. And enough said. Agreed, Richard. Brian, did it make your bottom of the year list?
No, I have it 76 on the year. So okay. up towards the B minus range.
But you know what? By ratio, if we're going to scale, you saw more movies than us. We're still in the same percentage of movies we saw. It's in the same quadrant.
Okay, sure.
So, yeah. Bigot.
But I have a scuttlebutt tattoo, so I don't know if you guys wanted to get one as well.
On your scuttlebutt.
That needs to be a bet payoff, but yeah. Mm-hmm. This is on my scuttlebutt, yes.
She just needs to drop an album as Scuttle. All right. What's your number 8, Brian?
Number 8 for me, and this is a trend. I'm looking, I think there's probably 5 or so of these last 7 or 8 for me, but that are streaming exclusive movies. And that's on me for watching them, right? Like, that's my fault. This one I'll go here is The Mother with Jennifer Lopez on the old Netflix.
Oh.
And there's a worse one of these kind of action movies that'll pop up, I think, 3rd on my list here. So maybe in some ways I should give J-Lo and company kudos for being better than one of the than a contemporary. Bad action, bad plotting. You take like all the things that you get from like something like The Equalizer 3, and then which is already kind of a stupid movie, and then dumb it down even further, and it just, yeah, there's a certain point where it's like, what are we doing? What is the value of this movie and this type of movie? And it's, there's just not really anything there that you can point to.
Yeah. I did not see that one. I feel like there was a lot of Netflix exclusives that fell under my radar this year for whatever reason. I did get to a bunch of Netflix ones, I feel like, but I still feel like that one's one. I don't even know if I've heard of that movie. So props to Netflix for cranking them out and keeping them out of my algorithm, because I would have thought that would have been everywhere on my main page. All right, Richard, let's go with your number 8.
Meg 2, The Trench.
Oh, did I log this one on my list? I forgot this one on the list. Yeah. Oh, man, that one would have been.
This is a movie where you can, I'll accept one. That's fun. If you're doing the kind of ironic Megalodon movie, but like, even if it does well, you don't get to make another. You don't. That needs to be a rule.
And if you're gonna, then like maybe put the shark in the movie, I would suggest.
We're kicking out Dungeons and Dragons, and we're putting in Meg 2, The Trench on my list. All right. That's what
Nerds
it would be.
Near as angry.
Had I put it on there, I knew there was some that I missed, man. This dang letterbox. That's a great one, man. I wish I didn't think about that again, but here we are. Oh, never fails the end of the year. You just, the memories come flowing back, so to speak. All right. I'm going to go with my next one was number 8. It was Little Mermaid. So my number 7 is The Exorcist 2. Did you guys see this?
Did not. No. I heard it was awful, awful.
It was, yes, that's two great words to describe it. Richard, did you?
I did not.
Wow. I challenge you to get through it, Richard, knowing you.
I feel like I started it. I don't know.
It shouldn't have not been associated with The Exorcist. The worst thing about it is that it taints the legacy somehow, Brian, of the original.
Have you seen The Exorcist?
Yes.
You have? Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great movie that I will never want to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
That one holds up as scary. Scary.
Agree.
Still.
Yeah. Big agree. Yeah.
Great movie. The,
it's great. All time great.
And you can do a sequel to that. Well, I feel like
it's tough.
This wasn't
it. If they did it to The Shining, they could do it to that. So.
Right. Right. I feel like there's at least some type of source material there to work with, but this was not it.
I do not believe David Gordon Green is a top tier. How does this guy keep getting work? Guy, like he just had something canceled recently, and I was like, oh, good. Could we just not give him any more movies? Because, what does he do? What does he do well at this point? I don't understand. Doesn't work for me.
I guess Danny McBride might still have some cachet to get him jobs or something. So. I don't know what's going on there. True. That's a good point. All right. So, number 7 for you, Brian.
Number 7 for me is a Robert Rodriguez joint. So you know it's good, and it also involves one of these. I think we've all gotten to a place where we really like Ben Affleck for the most part, but he's still capable of doing like early 2000s Ben Affleck role for sure. You know, hey, get paid, that's great. It's Hypnotic, which here's what I hated about Hypnotic. It, like, this kind of movie, whatever, it exists, it's fine. The thing that really takes it over the top for me, that takes it from like, this is a C movie that I did not like and didn't really find any value into, down into like, no, actually, it's actually very bad, is it is a movie that is so sure that its twist is going to blow your mind. And then it is the most generic, basic, if you've ever seen like, I don't know, like an NCIS episode, you can see this twist coming from so far away.
Who hasn't?
It's so, so bad. It reminded me a ton of this movie, definitely made my list, whatever year that was, but the Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway joint, Serenity, that turned out, spoiler alert for that movie, turned out to be a video game that his kid designed the whole time. Like, they're just characters in a video game. It's the same kind of twist. It's very, very stupid, and I did not like it at all. And it's Robert Rodriguez, so that's a tough 1-2 punch for me. But get paid, Ben. Get paid.
Hey, he's just trying to fund his next Spy Kids. That's really, and vice versa.
Yeah. Ugh. Cool.
Cool. Yeah. I like that. Cool. Well, I did not catch that one. It was on the watch list, and it was one of the ones that I was like, I'm running out of time. It's not going to make it, and it never did. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I skipped it. Richard, 7?
No shocker here. This one was like a lock from 2 years ago. We knew this would be in some bottom tens. That would be Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Mm. It'll come up later on mine. Yeah, for sure.
I rewatched your rant about aspect ratios and things on it, Kent. Some one of your best pieces of work.
Thank you. I need to get back to that.
That's your version. What my Sarah McLachlan Shaggy Angel video is, yours is that. That's what you'll be remembered for. And hopefully they'll play.
Thank you.
When they do the Mad About Movies Film Festival, hopefully those play back to back.
Yeah, he's just real passionate about aspect ratios, and that's all we got. So he was a great guy, and this is an awful day.
Yeah, I really thought your parents would have more to say, but that was their speech.
They'd say the same thing, yeah. That's all we knew about him. That's good. Yeah, you know what? Looking back, that's kind of the moment this series went south for good, was that movie. What was it? Last Night?
Yeah.
That was...
I mean, it was going south a little before
that. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you can always pull the train back on the tracks. It felt like they did with, what's it called? Bumblebee? I was going to say Beekeeper, but that's a new movie. Bumblebee? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they completely negate that with Rise of the Beasts, which I think is my number 4 worst movie of the year. 4th worst. Mm-hmm. So, spoiler alert for that. Yeah, not great. Totally agree. I guess going number 6 for me is, this concept can work. I'm not against it in general. Good idea to do this movie, but just didn't understand the audience. Haunted Mansion. Not poorly made by any means. Anything like that. It's just... This was really the one we got in July. We got this Haunted Mansion movie. Yeah, it's a very, very confusing thing. Like I said before, kids want to see Mr. Beast. Just put Mr. Beast in that bad boy, give him Dude Perfect, and it would have made $1 billion. But they gave him the Kent Garrison.
What if the ghosts were Dude Perfect?
The Kent Garrison casting of Rosario Dawson and Lakeith Stanfield, which, you know, great, but didn't make for a great Haunted Mansion movie.
I had a dollar for every time Cooper brought up Lakeith Stanfield, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, I get it.
They cannot stop talking.
He's great. You're right.
But about Lakeith.
Dad, can you take me to the Book of Clarence again? No, I can't. We can't do that right now. Right? gotta go to school today, dude.
That's mind-blowing. But yeah, that had to make the worst of the year just for sheer just lack of awareness. And the fact that just went all the way it did up until they released it. And that's incredible. Haunted Mansion. What's your number 6, Brian?
Number 6. Not sure if this movie actually was ever released in theaters or if it was just streamer. I don't know how you have... Let me rephrase that. Pretty willing to give a dumb action comedy starring John Cena and Alison Brie like a pass on just being... fine. You gotta work pretty hard to make it to where it's something where I'm like, nope, that's one of the worst movies I saw this year. And so congratulations to Freelance. They were successful in that endeavor of making just a really miserable movie for no reason. Like, just it shouldn't be this hard to make Alison Brie and John Cena entertaining enough for me just to be like, oh, that was fine. Couldn't pull that off. So Freelance. Which also is the movie that led Kent to be like, really, dude? When I sent him requests for like, hey, I need to find these movies. I'm trying to see these.
Yeah, he was worried. He called me. We
for
had
real,
a
full, dude?
Should we have an intermission? Yeah. Intervention.
We need to. It's like, I got it. He's like, hey, Kent. He called me. I'm like, I need to see Freelance. Is there any way you can get it, you know, for me. You know, I need that freelance. I'm like, okay, bro, chill. I'll get it. I'll get it. Okay. It's 4 a.m. I agree. Yeah, that's on my list too. Second worst of the year for me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It definitely really could bad. Have been higher than six for sure.
It's a really bad comedy. And that sucks because you like the people involved. You want to see comedies get made and be funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a director, like a foreign director situation, and doesn't understand comedic timing type of thing. And because I don't know if the script was bad, because that's why it got made in the first place, probably, is because it was a funny script. So, it's just, there was one scene that really summarized it for me. You know the episode of The Office where Sabre takes over Dunder Mifflin and they show him the welcome tape from Sabre that's like, "Hi, welcome to Sabre. I'm Christian Slater."
Yes.
And everyone's just really impressed with Christian Slater being like in their welcome video. Mm-hmm. That's Christian Slater pops up at this movie. And that was this is the movie equivalent of that.
Yes. Yeah. You're spot on. It was such an, like, they were so happy that they got
I'm Christian Slater. Yeah.
It was,
and he's only in it just so like the audience is like, "Oh, they got Christian Slater for this."
Yeah.
It's just like, no, no reason for it to be him at all. It's a very Sprint commercial scenario there. Yeah.
Alison Brie had a couple movies this year where it's like, does she know that she's good? Like, she doesn't have to do this. I guess get money, get paid. You know, we're pro get paid. And also, I love her. But jeez, like, it was just rough movies.
What you got next for us, Richard?
We're going to go on a little trend here for the next few. I'm going to go Blue Beetle.
Okay. That was slightly out of the bottom 10 for me. Yeah.
No idea why this exists. Just there was some cool, like, honestly, execution-wise, they pulled off a few things that were interesting with it, but the stuff that was flat was very awkward. And then just overall, why I themed these together a bit. This doesn't need to, this was like just everything about it was a miss from the beginning. It's from the minute this was incepted, you knew it would fail. And so thus I will punish it by putting it in my top 10.
good point. Question though, had you not mentioned it just then, could we have gone the rest of our lives without ever hearing about it again? I think probably pretty good chance. We would have never heard about it.
Yeah.
It's like that didn't exist. Total Mandela effect that would have happened with that one. All right. By the way, did you know 80 for Brady came out this year?
No.
Feels like 8 years ago. That was
No, I don't believe it.
It did. Next one on my list. You know, you want good things from the people involved here too. Good idea, bad execution. Expend Four Bulls.
Oh gosh. Oh, yeah. So bad, man. That's number two on my list. It's so bad. It's so bad.
What are you doing, Sly? This is multiple in a row now that it's just he's the whatever the opposite of Tom Cruise's sense of filmmaking is, that's what Sly has right now.
Yeah. I like
Scott Waugh. You know the director, big Scott.
Yeah,
Walker.
That's true. Scott. Wow. The first couple of these they're not good, but they're fun. They're at least fun, and like you can sit in a theater and be like, "Yeah, I had a good time with that for a couple hours." This one, this one was really, really rough, and I don't know, man. When you start adding. When Megan Fox is the big draw, I don't know. Maybe we just should stop, I would say. Maybe we just move on with our lives at this point.
Speak for yourself, but
it's tough, man. It's tough. It's not great. Not great. And spoiler alert for Expendables 4, Sly kills himself off pretty early in the movie, and then it just is sort of a weird buddy movie between Jason Statham and Megan Fox. Just
and
it doesn't really
cent.
Make a lot of sense
and
if we're being
cent,
honest.
Bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 50 Cent. That's Beacon. True. He's also there. Yeah.
Wow. What a movie. Expend Four Bulls is number five.
It's just a shame we never got Gruber in this. Really is a shame.
It's the only way to rejuvenate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was my number five. What's your number five, Brian?
My number five is The Flash.
Oh.
From the jump, the baby microwave scene remains one of the most inexplicable bad sequences ever in a big budget movie.
And it's
the director trying to sell us on the terrible CGI was done by choice. Just Ezra Miller in general, I would say, is not my favorite part of superhero movies. The commitment to Ezra Miller, despite everything, for the last like 3 years, to go through all that they went through to make sure that they could get Ezra freaking Miller as the Flash in this movie. And then for it to just stumble on, stumbling would be too nice. Just to watch it like flop right on at the starter pistol is tough, man. It's tough. This is sort of a microcosm of everything that the DC Extended Universe is doing. Marvel had a bad year this year too. So certainly not going to trying to advocate for one or the other in the year of 2023, but, just an abysmal movie that gets worse with time, in my opinion.
I agree. It's number three on my list.
Okay.
Right. So I think there's only one left on mine that has not been mentioned so far, the bottom of the year.
Okay.
So Transformers, The Flash, and Freelance. But my number one has not been mentioned yet as we move to Richard for his next worst.
Yeah, well, this one has been mentioned, so we'll just gloss over it. Aquaman 2.
Okay.
It made me like, it made me like Momoa 10% more, the way he was just like, yeah, nah, I don't.
Sure.
This is it. So, see it or don't, I don't care. Check already cleared.
I got paid, yeah.
Have you seen Dakota Johnson lately talking about Madam Web? She's pulling the same thing. She's just like, yeah, it's probably not going to be good. It looks pretty bad to me. It was the worst experience of my life of filming it and all this stuff.
I was in front of a green screen the whole time. I have no idea.
Yeah.
You can go with your next movie, Richard.
Then keep it in the family. Shazam, Fury of the Gods. Furry of the Gods. I'm going to go with that. That'd be cooler.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a little tail hanging out. It would have been maybe a little higher. It probably still would have been bottom 10 for me, but maybe a little higher in the top bottom 10 if the star of it hadn't wept because no one saw it. That's going to knock you down a few notches. Yeah.
The Rudy Gobert rule, if you will.
The video of him begging us to see it is actually in my top 10.
Got a lot of joy out of that. So,
that's a great joke. That's funny, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, what a
loser. Like the movie. I like that movie fine enough, but I am with your premise. Significant. I mean, big time. I understand.
That was all time. An opposite of a Momoa. Momoa saw that and was like, okay, noted.
Now I know what.
That's
not
what
to
the
do.
PR people told him. They're like, just do the opposite of what this guy did with Shazam. You're good. People will love you.
Yeah. The Rock kind of did it too, like less of a lame made.
Oh, for sure, yeah. But The Rock's was like, actually, my accountants looked at the info, and it made so much money, guys. Y'all have no idea. I mean, it was pretty rough, dude.
That was pretty rough. And thus, he's back wrestling.
We called it. It's the only thing that can save him. And the only one left on my list, I'll just mention it, can only be Flamin' Hot.
That was my number 11. Right on the outside.
Brian. Yeah. How is it? How is there 10 worse movies than Flamin' Hot? There's not. I promise.
Got to go see Hypnotic, dude.
See it again. No. Watch Flamin' Hot again. I promise. Got you on a good day.
Excuse me. Oscar nominated Flamin' Hot. Please give it the respect.
Show some respect.
It's on all over the box art already. Yeah. Failure on all fronts. Bad acting, bad script, bad direction, bad idea. Dumb. No.
Fraudulent story.
Yeah. Yeah, and it ended up the story was a complete fraud, too. So that's great. It was offensively bad. Yeah. Flamin' Hot.
So how do you feel about Eva Longoria's next directorial film?
Not great.
Okay.
It's the story of Funny.
What is the opposite of Greta trajectory?
She just said the Chip cinematic universe.
The story of Funyuns. Yeah.
It's funny. Just the same thing. Like, guy walks in, is like, you know, you don't have anything that's onion flavored, and I like onions. So, and they're like, what? Say that again.
What?
Say that again.
Yeah, Flamin' Hot is my number one. Brian, yeah. What movies are left on your list? I can't imagine there's any.
I've got 4, 3, and 1 left. They are, two of the three are Netflix movies. The other one I watched on Netflix. So that may give you a hint as to who my least valuable player of the year is. The first movie I saw this year, I believe, was the Netflix rom-com Your Place or Mine, starring Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher.
And, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Had a long time to... That was like the only 2023 movie on my letterbox for like a month, because we were still doing the catch-up on 2022, you know? The longer it sat at the top of the list, even though it was the only movie there, the angrier I got. And so I love rom-coms. There was a movie or two this year that did rom-com very well, like kind of reminded of what the genre mm-hmm. can be.
Yeah.
But as Netflix is wont to do, instead of doing that, they just like said, what if these two people were in a movie together? And that was like the premise of the whole movie. It's brutal and not funny. And, you know, Ashton Kutcher had a rough year, so maybe I should just leave him alone. But yeah, that was awful. That's number four. Richard, do you have movies left? Anything left on yours?
I've got two left. My number three and
number
two.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go.
My number three is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Bad. It's more of an aesthetic choice. Just that was just an assault, and I did not like that. You want to do your next one?
Yeah, sure. Number three on my list is Gal Gadot's Netflix movie Heart of Stone. That
you got. We got to get you out of the house more. I appreciate the work you do for the show. I love you for it, because God knows I'm not doing it. But we're all worried about you. We got to get you.
It's fine. Just got to get through the work hours. You know, this is.
We got to get you. We got to get you a harder job.
No, I'm kidding. It's good.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Heart of Stone kind of made The Mother look like a really good action movie. Boy. So that tells you how bad, because that movie, again, was in my bottom 10. So
imagine
Heart of Stone is terrible.
Imagine all the people living life in peace, though. So how do you follow that? You know, her masterpiece of 2020. Stone.
That's right. We maybe just need to like get, I don't know, do some training, maybe like figure out your craft just a little bit. Maybe it's rough. It's a really rough movie overall. Just really, really bad. Poor idea, poor execution. So not great. And I just pulled it up on Letterboxd. Almost everybody in the Mam Fam that has seen it, it's like, it's a star or a half star almost across the board. So that kind of lets you know. I've got one more that has been mentioned, but we didn't really talk about it. So other movie?
Yeah, I've got one more. One more is one that I think a lot of people liked. Thought I would really like it. Fired it up excitedly. Definitely in my wheelhouse kind of thing. And then just found it really grating for some reason. A movie I did not care for at all and like really angered me in a lot of ways. And that's a movie called Dumb Money.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I really did not like it. And I know a lot of people did. And I think it's a cool story and should be told. It's fun that they did it so quick. It's not something that's like, you know, sometimes it's fun to have the great hindsight of history. Sometimes it's fun to make things a little more closer to the moment. And something about just the tone of it seems so unoriginal and like trying to be 10 other movies at once. And I just found it very grating. So, and I was, again, I was like, maybe some of this is like what angers me the most. Right, like I go into Transformers. Transformers is a worse movie probably than Dumb Money, but I'm going to put Dumb Money higher on my list because I expected it to be something I really like.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And my number one is The Flash. I'll just say, The Flash is terrible. So, but we already talked about it.
Yeah, number one for me is The Machine.
Yeah, that's right.
I would just really love if I just never had to see that guy again ever in a movie. Like,
I like the 10-minute. Stand-up of that story. I mean, I've watched that a bunch of times in my life. It's funny, but then didn't need to be a movie.
I do not find him funny at all. Like, it doesn't land for me in the slightest. I see him like pop up on TikTok and everything. Yeah. I know he's got lots of fans, you know, sure. Comedy, subjective, totally. Whatever else. how this is a movie is unfathomable to me. This is probably the only movie on the list this year where I'm like, this probably makes the decade, like the worst of the decade. Wow. Kind of list. Yeah. At the end of it. I hated it so much that when the Chiefs were playing the Bills and Jason Kelce was jumping around, like being awesome. I think Jason Kelce's awesome. Really funny guy. Dig his whole bit. Just going shirtless and hanging out with the fans and everything was really funny. All I could think was, when this inevitably gets made into a movie, it's going to be this freaking Bert, whatever his name is, and that is going to make me hate it. Sure. So that's the level of dislike.
Yeah, you could do Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer are the Kelce brothers.
You really could, and that bums me out.
We do it on the Joe Rogan streaming network, and we make $1 billion.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we just disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But he has his shirt off, Brian. I mean, isn't that hilarious?
I don't get it. It's fine if you do. It's not for me. But I do feel like we can all agree there is zero reason why this was a movie.
Dude, he was the original Van Wilder, man.
Oh my gosh. Put a shirt on, you dork. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I have horrible news for you. By the way, I saw this on Instagram the other day. He's Jack now. So,
oh, okay.
Maybe cool. he'll do a DC
Squad
movie.
Or?
Yeah, exactly. He's the new. Yeah, we thought James Gunn was good, but no, he's Commissioner Gordon. So it's a real L.
Wow, what a bad year it was. There's some bad ones.
A lot of bad ones.
We need to talk about the most disappointing movie of the year. This might not have been in the bottom 10 on your list, but it sure left you disappointed. I'll go first. My most disappointing, it's just because my anticipation was so high. People involved, story I'm into. Movie was...
Das Beanie Baby Bubble? Is that it?
Das Beanie Bubble.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Ferrari.
Oh, okay.
Liked it. But like at the outset, I was like, oh, this is going to be easily be top 10. And it wasn't. So most disappointing.
I think it was because by the time I saw Ferrari, I had come down on what I thought it was going to be. I had the opposite deal with it. I was like, okay, I actually think this is going to be kind of a bummer. And I'm going to be bummed that man is still not back. And instead I was like, no, this is actually pretty good. Like at the beginning of the year, I would have thought this is a top 10 movie for me of the year. By the time I actually saw it, I was just hoping that it wasn't going to be bad. And I felt like it was pretty good. It did not make my top 10. It won't be anywhere close, but I found it to be pretty decent plus even. Whereas coming in, I was maybe expecting it was going to be actually bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where I am on Adam Driver. Still processing it, maybe. Maybe if it wasn't Adam Driver in the lead, I'd feel different. Maybe that was a bit hard to process. All right. What's your most disappointing, Brian?
I'm just going to kind of give like a sort of a blanket, and it's just like big blockbuster movies. This was a bad year, obviously, money-wise for the big blockbusters, the tentpole kind of movies. Those are usually the ones that I look forward to the most. And whether you're talking, Ant-Man or even the Marvels or Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, and some of these others that came along. These are the movies that like sort of hold up the year for us. I think that's why I was sort of down on the year going at least into like December, is just because it felt like so much of the narrative this year was about Indiana Jones tanking or Ant-Man being, you know, ugly and tanking or whatever else along the lines you get with these big movies. And so that kind of left like a, not even necessarily a bad taste, but it left the impression, I feel like, that this year was a bummer and a downer. And then again, like we said at the outset, then you kind of look at it like, actually, this was a really good year. I had a good time with it. I just didn't have a great time with a lot of the biggest movies of the year. And that's pretty disappointing for me personally.
So there wasn't just one movie?
Box office-wise, it's Indiana Jones, without question. But I liked that movie well enough. Fast X and Ant-Man, I think, are probably the two that are like, hey, I was really looking forward to both of those movies because we like these series, even when they're not good necessarily. I like the bit. I didn't think either of those movies was as bad, I think, as you guys did. But even still, to walk out of a fast movie and be like, hey, when are we going to be done with this? Because I'm kind of not enjoying this anymore, was quite a bummer, given how much we've loved those movies over the years.
All right, Richard, most disappointing.
Yeah, for me, it's a no-brainer. Definitely not in my bottom 10, but definitely thought this would be in my top 10 of the year, and it's Maestro.
Figured that'd be yours. That's why I went with Ferrari, because it would have been mine, probably.
Yeah, similar choice to yours, but yeah. Yeah.
All right. not at all. Least valuable player of the year. I'm kind of got a Brian Gill answer with this one. Cheating a little bit. My least valuable player is Bob Iger.
Okay.
I'm excited to read the book in like 2 years called 2023, the year that sank Disney. And just crazy, crazy times. A lot of failures. A lot of money lost. Now Mickey's in the public domain. There's crazy stuff happening right now. So the one through line with all of those releases is Big Bob. So got to give him the least valuable player. He could have prevented all of this. So that's my answer. What about you, Brian?
Netflix. Really could just say streamers in general. Like, of my bottom 10, there's only two that I saw in theaters. There are a couple others that were theater movies, don't get me wrong, but if I added in some honorable mentions, it would have been things like Flamin' Hot and White Man Can't Jump. Like, why did we call that White Man Can't Jump? Because that was rough. And Ghosted, the Ana de Armas, Chris Evans joint. And on up the list, like, the majority of the bad to, like, mediocre but not an enjoyable mediocre even were all movies that were vastly movies that were streaming exclusive or came straight to streaming or whatever else. And that, and on the one hand, it's like, yeah, I guess that's kind of what you expect at a certain point, but at the other hand, it's like, this is why you want those movies to be decent, because that's what you, it's readily accessible, you can watch those movies at any point, and then for them to just consistently be crappy is a bummer. So I don't know that it was an unexpected bummer necessarily, but this to me felt like a really bad year for the streaming services just overall.
Yeah, I sent you guys a number the other day that said Peacock lost $1 billion in the last quarter. I don't even understand how that's possible, but yeah, well, streaming seems to be getting less and less popular as the years go by, which is crazy.
I think it's reconsolidating, though, into Netflix, right? Netflix has had a great end of year financially. I mean, that ad tier is huge, you know, and them kind of funneling everyone to that now with their pricing and everything. They've maintained a ton of profitability, and, you know, they're going to keep trying to make compelling things, and maybe one of these years they'll figure out. I mean, they definitely have stopped flooding the market with things, but to the level that they were. But yeah, there's a lot of crap for sure creatively on there. But I think what's crazy is now, and you're seeing it, the HBOs of the world, the Disneys of the world, the whatever, are licensing their stuff back to Netflix to get it eyeballs.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, like getting people hooked on shows. The Suits of it all proved as dumb as that kind of phenomenon out of nowhere as that phenomenon was with Suits. It's like, that was eye-opening to a lot of these people. That's like, Suits could live on Peacock and no one will ever see it for 50 years. Or
totally,
we can give it to Netflix temporarily, whatever, maybe, you know, license it for a year, license only half of the season. I mean, that's the thing I'm seeing a lot that they're talking about a lot, is saying, okay, we have a 6-season show. Let's give 3 seasons to Netflix, get people hooked on it, and then say, if you want to see the other 3 seasons, you got to come get Paramount Plus or whatever. There's there's things that people are trying to use Netflix now, is seeing it less as a competitor, which of course it is if they're going to stay in the streaming business, but also seeing it more as a distributor.
Richard, did you have a least valuable player?
At least valuable player. Only in terms of performance in a movie, but in terms of being, you know, Bill Parcells, who I know you're familiar with, Kent, had the great saying, the best ability is availability. So when you're not available to even promote your crappy movie, you got to be the LVP. So that's Ezra Miller.
Yeah. A double role.
Yeah. Even.
That's probably the right.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a high usage rate and terrible efficiency. So that is definition of LVP. That's Jordan Poole numbers, homie.
Exactly. Wow. Would not have been 2023 without Ezra. So had to get that in there.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks.
All right. Best of the year time, fellas. Let's start with honorable mentions. Is there any you want to mention before we do our top 10, Brian?
I kind of look at this as tiers usually, and really probably the last like three movies that made my top 10, you can maybe even swap out for the next like five or eight that are on the list here for me. I won't go in on any of them just in case they're on you guys' list. I think the five that missed the list that were the closest were John Wick 4, Wonka, which is very controversial in our Discord. That's been a fun one to watch people see and have different opinions on. Asteroid City, and then the Kane Mutiny Court Martial, which was, I think, was on Showtime maybe. That William Friedkin's last movie, which I think was my weekly recommend last week, that I really dug. Those are the five that were just on the outside. And then again, there's probably another five or 10 movies I can mention here. Cause it was a good year. It was a top heavy, strong year in that like A to light A plus kind of range. So
yeah.
Richard, what about you?
I've got five on here that I gave 4 stars to that did not quite make the top 10. And that would be The Creator, Chicken Run, Dog of the Nugget. Loved it. Love Chicken Run.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Ferrari, and The Killer.
My five just out of the top 10 are at 15, Talk to Me, which was really good. I don't know if you guys saw that. Yeah. The Killer, Barbie, Bo is Afraid, and The Holdovers. Multiple
it's a good year, man.
Four
it's a
really good plus year. Stars movie yeah. for me on my according to my rankings didn't make it. And I'm with you, Brian. I had John Wick Chapter 4 slightly out of that too. That was a tough one to cut, and The Creator too. So
I had 32 movies this year. Now that includes some docs, so I don't know what the actual number is, but I had 32 movies that I gave 4 stars or more to this year, which
nice.
I would guess is a high for the podcast era. I could be wrong on that, but it seems higher than normal. So that's good. It's a good year.
Absolutely. I'll start us off here with my number 10. And this is a movie I kept coming back to, kept thinking about, went back and watched it again, enjoyed it more on the second time, and just really appreciated the approach to this. I feel like I always have a few movies on my list that are just, kind of the low budget horror thriller type movie, maybe something like that. No One Will Save You. Did you guys see this?
No, I know that hurts.
I did. Yeah. I wasn't a fan. This is my Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, okay.
Our reverse.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it a lot. Had a kind of a no dialogue thing going on. Really liked how they did the UFO stuff. Was really pretty well done. I don't know how realistic it is, but it was entertaining. I'll say that. And definitely enjoyed the heck out of it. Even more on the second time. No One Will Save You. Really appreciated that. So had to give it a shout out there. What's your number 10, Brian?
Thought about revisiting it this week just to kind of solidify, because it was early in the year that we saw it. ultimately just kind of ran out of time. So number 10 for me is Creed 3. The other reason for not revisiting is, like, you know, it's a real bummer that Jonathan Majors turned out to be a terrible person, because he's a huge part of what makes that movie work and why it's so good. I mean, we all walked out of that feeling like, gosh, this guy is just, I mean, he's going to be so huge. And then, you know, unfortunately, he's apparently the worst. So I don't know how many times I'm going to revisit this one the way I do Creed, but I was very impressed with Michael B. Jordan as a director and the star. I thought that a lot of the set, like having the big match play out at Dodger Stadium, was really cool. A lot of great visuals in this, and great acting. And so I have a feeling that this is going to be kind of a movie that's forgotten over the years, in part, again, because of the Jonathan Major thing. But for a good 6-7 months of the year, I was like, that might be the best movie I've seen this year. And it was, so I think it deserves a spot here, for me at least.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I moved Ant-Man significantly down the list as the year went on because of Jonathan Majors. Like that, I mean, it's so important to that. I mean, like, where do you go with that movie?
Yeah.
What do you do with that movie now that we know what we know about where it's going? You know, I mean, so much of it hinges on that. It's just, it's almost impossible to go back and watch it. So, yeah, it's tough. That, man, Creed 3 was special. I forgot about that Dodgers Stadium scene. That was great. What's your number 10, Richard?
Wes Anderson's Asteroid City.
Nice.
Yeah. Enjoyed it. I wouldn't say a return to form, but it was definitely a director, writer, filmmaker operating in a space that he does really well, and that kind of ensemble comedy. You know, it's obviously very mannered and very tactically put together in a lot of ways, which sometimes, you know, post Tenenbaums can be annoying. But then sometimes it all just hits kind of like music, and this one worked for me. And you guys know there's been other ones that haven't. But I thought this one, the writing was really strong, and performances were great. And we had a good discussion about it and all that. So yeah, Asteroid City ended up in my top 10, which I was surprised. I just kept, nice. It's fun with the kind of, with the letterbox piece of, I don't know why I said piece, with letterbox to do the like 1v1s when you're building your list. Okay, here's everything with the stars. Uh-huh. Okay, so you're right. I tear it out, and then it's like putting them next to each other going, nope, I like that one more. And this one kept kind of bumping up more and more. Yeah.
I think about the alien scene in that movie a lot, actually. It was such a strange way to do that, and I loved it. I think it was such a fun Wes Anderson-y way to do an alien coming down out of a spaceship.
Like, and I love the play.
Same.
You know, that construct really worked and made it feel a little different.
Yeah, we did an episode on that. I think all but one of the rest of my list we've done episodes on. So most of these, if you're listening or want to go back and do more deep dive on them, we've done episodes on most of them, if not all of them. So Asteroid City is definitely one of those. My number 9 is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Number 8.
I loved
13 for me.
The first one. Nice. And I mean, I said, like, man, if they can improve on this, I'm going to really like the second one. And I thought they did. So easy entry into the top 10. One that we'll watch, you know, plenty of times here in the future. And excited to see where it's going. Apparently they're pumping the brakes on it because the animation people got, you know, in some trouble for pushing this one so hard. And so I think they're one to look out for is what's going on with Lord Miller and that Spider-Verse crew, because, you know, they're blowing our minds every time they do something. What's your number 9, Brian?
Yeah. Just a real quick there. I have Spider-Verse at number 8, and it definitely feels like one that could rise up maybe significantly so based on the next one and how that plays out. Because there is just like a slight incomplete to this movie because it's a part one, but it's such a good part one. Love that movie. Number 9 for me, one of the last movies I saw this year, people have been talking about all year, and I just hadn't had a chance. It wasn't available streaming for a long time, and watched it. Super glad I did. It's Past Lives, done by Celine Strong. I thought Greta Lee was unbelievable in this. It's a shocker. I mean, I was almost as mad about that. Maybe, I might be more upset about her not getting an Oscar nomination than I am with Margot Robbie. She's brilliant in the movie. And a lot of the surrounding work is so good as well, but it's I'm not somebody who has like a lot of, regret and road not taken kind of syndrome with some of this stuff. It is present. Because of that, I wasn't sure that I was going to totally connect with the movie the way other people seem to be. And I could not have been further from the truth. It is presented so well and so beautifully. It's impossible, in my opinion. It's kind of impossible not to connect with the story and the way that it's being told. So really, really a remarkable, really, really well-made movie that I loved quite a bit.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. I think it has a low key shot at Best Picture, maybe too. But
sure,
we shall
see. She is in the morning show though, and those people have to be punished. So understanding.
That's true. That's true. It's fair, you know. It's fair,
yeah,
is fair.
I'll make the rules. Right, I just enforce them. Yeah.
All right. What you got for us at number 9, Richard?
Sorry. Number 9, a little movie. I don't know if you guys heard of it, called Barbie. Indie pick.
Okay.
Real flop. And then kind of picked up some momentum late in the year. Barbie's number 9 for me. Thought it would. This is one. There was stuff that was higher than I expected. This was a little lower than I expected when I set out to make this list, but just barely liked a lot of things slightly more than it, but it's definitely on the tier with everything that's like 3 through 9. So all those could easily, based on my mood, move, or 5 through 9. But yeah, great. Such a actually very high degree of difficulty for that kind of movie, and is executed so well. Such a fun tone, so many great performances, and all that good stuff. So kudos to all involved for Barbie.
Shout out Greta Gang. Greta Gang shirts now on sale. MadAboutMoviesPodcast.com.
Your company man. Good for
not
you.
Not a joke.
Look at you.
We see people buying those. So shout out to the Greta Gang. Man, that is that's a good one. It was slightly out of the top 10 for me. I'll go with my number 8 here. It's one that came out early in the year, stuck with me. It was very high on the list earlier in the year, but ended up staying in the top 10. I think we said in the episode when we reviewed it, why can't every movie be Air? Because I think it should try to be. Air was awesome. So fun and enjoyable. Is it? Okay, perfect.
Yep. You and I are aligned there. So,
I mean, just knew exactly what it was.
Great pace to it.
Yeah. I mean, lighthearted, kind of comedic tone, but also dramatic. Good acting. A dad movie of the year candidate for sure.
Big time.
Without a ship or World War II. So it's hard to do. That's a whole different category of dad movie. Right. Or Tom Hanks.
Right. That's what would have propelled it probably to the top, is if it took place in a sub.
That would be sick. Imagine Michael Jordan dunking in a sub. All right. Let's not give away all the good ideas.
Yeah. I'm with you though, Brian, when you said Viola Davis deserved an Oscar nomination. She's for so it. Good. That's so dead on. It totally got overshadowed because it was literally a year ago, feels like, when this movie came out, but deserves your time if you didn't get a chance to see it. And it was my number one for a good long while, literally until the rest of these movies came out. So shout out to Air for being just, guys, we don't have to spend $100 million on everything. Okay, we don't. Just be Air. Ryan, what's your number 8?
Just be Air. That's right. Number 8 for me is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So we've already talked about it. Can't wait to see what the next one's going to be, and may raise that up even a little bit more. But love the movie.
What about your 8, Richard?
My 8 was Air. My number 7 is Killers of the Flower Moon. Not a big 3-hour-plus movie guy, but the story is just so wild and affecting and traumatic in so many ways, and is so, so impeccably well made. Scorsese's having the best 80s anyone ever. It's like Tom Brady at this point, 80 for Brady, which a lot of people don't know he did direct under a pseudonym. But really, really incredible piece of work. And so, such a downer. So it's harder to put any higher on my list, but I respect it so much. And I've thought about it so much since.
Awesome. My number seven is Blackberry.
Oh, nice. Air and yeah. Blackberry back to
hey,
back.
Man,
to
you and I are strong. Aligned, Kent, this year. You're going to see Blackberry later on in my
list. Okay. This wins the award for movie that was way better than it had any right to be on all fronts. Yeah. Every performance, that cinematography, script, execution, direction.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie was like, you see the poster, you see, you're like, okay, no, never. And then you see the movie and you're like, wow. So go check this out if you never got a chance to. Glenn Howerton was awesome in this movie. Jay Baruchel was awesome. I'd never thought those words would come out of my mouth, same. But they did. Check this movie out if you didn't get a chance to. Blackberry was greatness. I think it was the best of the tech startup story movies this year, which there were a lot of. Das Beanie Bubble included.
Business biopics this year. Yeah.
The tech biopic.
Definitely the best of those. Definitely the best of those.
So yeah, that's my number seven, Blackberry. What about you, Brian?
Nice. Number seven for me, one of the only big, crazy, blockbuster-y kind of tentpole movies that worked for me, that performed. So Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm. Volume 3 here. Yeah. Could have been as high maybe as like 4 or 5. Actually, I had it like... I think I had it fourth until the last couple of weeks when, you know, some of this started filling in with the awardsy kind of movies that we hadn't had a chance to see yet. I've rewatched it a couple of times because, like, first time went to see it, Lindsay didn't go with Cooper and I. Then Lindsay and I went to see it later. And then when it got on Disney Plus, Cooper wanted to rewatch it. So we ended up doing that again. And, I know there's a few people in our Discord that it didn't work for, didn't connect with. For me, this was like the culmination of a lot of what this series has been doing, and Guardians probably my favorite branch of the MCU. And Rocket is great, and to center the movie on Rocket and his like character development and history and everything like that worked for me very well. So. All in all, like really, really rough year for Disney and Marvel. This was a pretty big success, in my opinion, for me at least.
Yeah, I think that was the only blockbustery type movie that even made my top 20. So, besides if you count Spider-Man, but go ahead and do six.
My number six was a movie we just talked about a couple weeks ago that we all I think loved very much and had a really interesting discussion about. That's The Iron Claw.
Hmm. Nice. Number four for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Same for me. It was number four. So, nice.
So I hated it compared to you guys. All right. Well, I'll see
yeah, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a jerk. Yeah.
It just means Brian's a bigger wrestling fan than you. That's all it means.
Proofs. He was telling us some wrestling stuff earlier this week. We were off air. You were saying like the Vince McMahon stuff. What was your thing? Like, wasn't that big of a deal? You were saying normal?
Said it was blown
you
out. Of
you said, I think guys out. Being dudes was your exact quote.
I think you said, yeah, who hasn't done that stuff. Was your... Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess you are. I guess you're a big wrestling guy. Whatever. Could teach his own.
Actually, I said everything that he did was reprehensible. I thought his plastic surgery was really good.
That's, I like when he had the mustache.
That was my comment. Kent was the one that was all about behaviors. So.
He needs to grow the creepy Joe Jackson mustache back.
That was so weird.
Bad. So bad.
Zorro stash. That was very odd. Well, all right. My number six, y'all definitely aren't going to have it on your list, was Mutant Mayhem. Loved just this movie.
Yeah, just on the outside.
So fun. Yeah,
loved it, though.
Again, probably better than it had any right to be. Creative, funny, good action. Everything you want in a TMNT. So
good soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh, great needle
animation
drops.
Looked great too.
Yeah. Super creative. Mm-hmm. Excited to see when and if they continue. So number six for me was Mutant Mayhem. Let's go to your number six, Brian.
Number six for me is a movie I'm very confident is going to come up later on Richard's list. Last movie I saw this year, I barely made it yesterday to get this one in because I knew it was going to be important and it did not disappoint. And that's American Fiction, number six for me.
Nice. I did not make it.
It was a tough one. I kept hoping that it was going to go, because it's an Amazon Prime release when it does get released. And so I thought this weekend it might happen. It did not. I had to rework my schedule Monday to figure it out. But I'm sure there are a lot of people that are in that boat. It's so good. So funny, but then like randomly was like crying, which, it, you know, is not, obviously is not uncommon for me. I cry in a lot of movies, but was not expecting to cry in that one. Like very genuine, like, oh, holy cow. Like that's a really, oof, that kind of stabbed me in the heart a little bit. Done very well. So again, I'm sure it's going to come up later on Richard's list, but it's great. Really good.
Awesome. What's your number five?
That assumption.
Richard.
My number five is a movie we talked about a bit, Blackberry. So much better than it needed to be. Really, really. I actually thought like there's some great dialogue in it, and Howard and has a really showy performance. You're right. Baruchel's great in this, and I'm not a fan normally either. I will say actually the story writing of this film is really interesting because it goes in a non, like everything Dumb Money does, this doesn't. It really kind of goes and it tells a full long story of a company. It's not just the startup phase, but it does those jumps really well and really kind of keeps you, even kind of, you kind of know where it's going to end up. It's not like we're all you know, going to pull out our Blackberries in a minute, even though I wish we would, because my favorite device ever. But it does kind of have some surprises in there and things like that. I think it was great, and the stuff with Palm was awesome. And I will say that really brave choice as a screenwriter and a director, Matt Johnson, just making himself the most unlikable character ever. God, I hate it. And it's funny because that guy wins at the end too, but he's just so annoying. the Doug character. It's just like, just doesn't get that he's at a company the entire time and is such a loser. So it's always fun to write a movie and be like, I'm going to be the annoying guy. So kudos to Matt Johnson. Or maybe that guy just sucks in real life. I mean, he's one or the other, but.
That's so true. I loved the Blackberry, what was it, Storm stuff at the end with the touchscreen one. I bought that one like, you know, pretty soon after it came out, I feel like, because I loved the Blackberry, but then I got an iPhone and I was like, well, if Blackberry can ever make something like this, I'll go back to Blackberry. And it didn't last long. I think I had it for like a month or two before I got rid of it.
I wish all business phones, like work phones, should just have to be Blackberries. Like just for email and stuff like that, it's so much better than the iPhone. But then everything else on the iPhone is better. But plus buttons feel good. And I'm gonna be brave and say something that's people are scared to say, but I like to think of myself as a trailblazer. So much better for texting and driving.
I'll go with T9 for that.
Yeah,
T9 was the best for texting and not looking. Yeah. All right, top five now. We've mentioned a few of these, so I'll mention my five and four here. My five was Asteroid City.
Nice.
One that's definitely grown on me as the year has gone on. And number four is Iron Claw.
Nice.
Yeah, love both of those. Movie. Yes, lovely sad movie. It's great. So those are mine. Brian?
Number four for me is Iron Claw as well. So we've touched on that. I really wish Efron had gotten a nomination, but it is what it is.
He's going to get it for Stibby McWibby or whatever that next
movie. Right.
Which, by the way, looks...
Neighbors 4.
That looks funny, by the way. Not going to lie. That trailer is pretty funny. The R-rated... I think it's every funny moment in the movie, rather, but I will say that's a pretty funny trailer.
Yeah. But that's number four. Number five for me, I could come up on Kent's list. Let's see. Godzilla Minus One. Loved this movie. When I was selling it to people too, I was like, yeah, it's Godzilla, but like, it's also a great war movie, like a great war movie. And all of the emotional elements of it, the like survivor's guilt with the main character, all that stuff, all, and like the cultural element of surviving in post-war Japan and stuff, is, I can't believe how well a Godzilla movie handled all of that stuff. And so that's a big part of why I'm as high on this movie as I am. It was just like, I went in expecting to see a Godzilla movie, and instead I saw like a very affecting war movie that handles itself remarkably well. So, and I did not expect that at all. But yeah, Godzilla Minus One is number 5, Iron Claw number 4.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Richard, any you want to mention here before I hit my top 3?
Yeah, I've got my number 4 I think I need to do. Let's see. Yes, okay. Number 4 for me is a movie that I saw a couple months ago. I don't know, liked it. Maybe just kind of a flat theater experience. Normally these add to films, the theater actual experience, but mine just didn't. Not that it was bad or anything, just kind of came out going, okay, yeah, I liked it. Thought I would like it, did like it. We did a review of it. It was very good. Thought it would be in my somewhere between 15 and 20 of the year, maybe 10 and 20. And then this past weekend, my wife hadn't seen it, and we watched it, just like threw it on in the morning. And then like, part of me again, atmospherically, my like kid came, Jude woke up from a nap and he like cuddled with us and just watched this movie. Was like really into it for like an hour. It was just a wonderful experience. And then I just found it so much better and funnier and more moving and everything in between, and loved it. My wife and I even talked about it for like 3 days. And that's Wonka.
Nice.
Yeah. Sweet. Wonka number 4. Yeah. It jumped up on a second viewing. It was a great second viewing. I was catching things I didn't even remember. I don't know. Maybe I was just in a bad mood or something the day I saw it. But yeah, loved it on the second viewing. So that's my number 4.
I love that. Very, really sweet movie. Really, really joyful and kind. And I'm glad it's really high on your list, man. It was that was a good one. Really love that.
All right. My top 3 here. I don't know if this one's been mentioned, but my number 3, Oppenheimer.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, number 1.
Number 2 for me. Okay, so spoilers. Run the gamut. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, my top 3, I think I probably switched the order like, I don't know, a few times the past few weeks. But it was always these 3 movies in some order. The order that I landed on, I think, was a little bit of favoritism, probably. It has nothing to do with what this movie's better than this one, anything like that. But man, Oppenheimer is great. What more can I say?
Yeah.
It's about as good as it could be.
It's a true epic of its time. It was one of 2 movies that I gave 5 stars to this year.
Yeah, it would feel disingenuous if it doesn't win Best Picture. I really do feel that way. But you know, anything can happen. But I think it'll stand the test of time, and we'll be talking about that one for years to come. So who cares if it wins or not, right? Because that's the real win. So number 3 for me was Oppenheimer. 2, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Nice.
Loved it, obviously. My number 1 was Godzilla Minus 1.
Nice, 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 nice.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I was like, you know, what's the one that was A, great movie, and B, I'm going to watch probably 100 times in my life. So yeah, Godzilla Minus 1. That's the one.
Nice. Such a surprise movie, man.
Totally.
I wasn't expecting that to be what it is. Yeah.
All right. What you got, Richard? Anything left?
I've got 2 left that have not been said yet.
Wow.
My number 3 favorite movie of the year was The Holdovers.
Nice.
Number 3 for me as well.
Look at us, Brian. Lined up.
Boarding school, maybe.
Boarding school boys. Let's get tats. Yeah, loved it. Alexander Payne's, you know, he's made some real masterpieces. He's made some real crap. So you never know going into him. But this was so well made and acted, and is such a lovely story. I mean, really just a great story of a film, and it goes so many different ways. It's a great performance. I think it's going to win a couple things at the Oscars, at least one thing. So that's awesome, and it should be its legacy. Anything you want to add, Brian?
I think there are 3 lead acting performances this year that if they win the Oscar, I'm not going to be upset about it. And this is one of them. Giamatti's incredible. I love just like the kind of small, cozy feel of the movie overall. Like, I think all the acting is just so well contained and not showy. Like, even I don't think Giamatti's performance is showy, and it definitely could be. There's probably a couple of scenes that are kind of the Oscar scene, you know, when you're making the movie, but it doesn't feel showy. It doesn't feel like he's trying to win an Oscar. I love that. Just, yeah, the whole vibe is great. And she's going to win the Oscar. So it's, you know, and she deserves it. She should. So yeah, love this movie. What was really nice too, is just kind of be reminded of like, all right, Alexander Payne, downsizing was just like a weird blip. Like we're good. We can still make good movies. So yeah, number three for me as well.
All right, my number two is Oppenheimer. What else can you say? Just a real epic masterpiece, and you know, will win a ton of awards and should. And saw the great quote today that Christopher Nolan said he's going to keep making movies at this large of scale because so many directors don't get to, and it's kind of his, since he gets to, because of, you know, the economics of that he's been able to pull off, mm-hmm. he's going to continue mm-hmm. to do it because he feels like he owes it. And that's so cool in a vacuum. Yeah. It's so cool though that he does that with stories like this and some, you know, and not just right. and Tenet and Dunkirk especially and all that. So it's really cool that he does that and still is able to make mass entertainment popcorn film that doesn't talk down to its audience, but is, you know, historically and in the history of film, really big and interesting and all that. And then my number one is American Fiction. Loved it. So good. Such a great, unbelievable screenplay that, like you said, Brian, mm-hmm. jumps around from all kinds of emotions. And when it is funny, it is so funny. So loved it. That's like, you know, so up my alley as a movie, but thought it was just, I knew I'd like it and then came out of it like sprinting into the parking lot. Loved it so much. Couldn't wait to like think about it more. So yeah. So those are my top three.
Yeah. American Fiction had a little bit of that Coen element yeah. of, I mean, there was only like four other people in my theater and I was laughing very like hard at a lot of the stuff that was happening. And I think I was probably the only yeah. one, you know, that doesn't happen a whole lot. Like, but it is that is something that happens with me frequently with yeah. Coen movies where, like Inside Llewyn Davis, where I like cackling. I was laughing so hard at some of the stuff and seemed like no one else understood that it was a comedy.
I was in Phantom Thread. Seriously. Me and Steven were laughing. There's some funny yeah, lines in Phantom sure. Thread, and the whole thing is supposed to be weird sure. and funny. And everyone's just like sitting there like right. they should be dressed as the character. Yeah. It's like, no, this is, you're yeah. supposed to be laughing at him. He's absurd.
Yeah. exactly. All the stuff with the mom and with the caretaker too. It's just super sweet and kind, you know, and very,
Jeffrey
very
Wright's so great. So, yeah.
Jeffrey Wright's great. He's another one of the three that yeah. to me, it's like if he wins, I'm happy because this is
a
great performance.
Always great in a freaking supporting role. Adam Brody. That guy just shows
yeah.
up and stuff.
Yeah. Nice. A little yeah. bit slimy too. Yeah, yeah. It was good. He's very good at that. Yeah. Okay. Cool. My number one was Oppenheimer. I just think it's definitely not the movie that I'm going to rewatch the most out of all these, and maybe out of the top 10, it's the one I'm going to rewatch the least. But it's still, as you guys know, like masterpiece is usually the word that I reserve. Like that's the one I'll call a movie great or awesome or whatever else, but I won't say that unless I really feel like it's a sort of generational, transcendent kind of movie. And that's
I won't say that unless it is their definitive best movie. Right, because that's the thing; it has to okay. be their right. singular work. And I don't know if it's that or Dark Knight.
Okay. I don't know. Like,
could be interesting.
There's yeah. not okay. a
that's
lot
weird.
Of
that's a good way to
beanie bubbles in Oppenheimer. I don't know if you could use that word with it.
Yeah. That's true. Das Oppenheimer though is really good.
Can't vouch for that one. German version.
Yeah. No, like that. Genuinely, I think it's a perfect movie. I imagine it's going to win just about everything, and I think it probably should. Two for me was Barbie. I think at the end of the day, and I don't know, maybe this is a poor way to do these kinds of things, but I think at the end of the day, what I am going to think about when it comes to 2023 is Barbenheimer, is Oppenheimer and Barbie, and the way that those two things worked together, sort of unexpectedly and surprisingly, that it wasn't a disaster for one or both of them to both come out at the same time, to have such different kinds of movies, but still both be such huge, huge, huge successes. And really even the way that both of those filmmakers kind of supported each other through the course of it was a really cool little sub story to the year as well. But yeah, I love Barbie. I've rewatched Barbie a time or two. It's going to be a great background movie, I think, for me moving forward. I think all the performances, Gosling has always been a favorite, and so that was really fun to see him just really lean into his comedy styling and what his tone comedically. Margot Robbie's great. Greta's our leader. We love her all the way through. So yeah, Oppenheimer number one, Barbie number two for me.
There you go. Does that wrap up the list? We'll get to MVPs here.
That's it.
Okay,
that's it. Yeah.
Well, there's the list. I'll go over mine real quick. My number 10, No One Will Save You. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Air, Blackberry, Mutant Mayhem, Asteroid City, Iron Claw, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Godzilla Minus One. Richard, what were your top 10?
My top 10, starting at number 10, Asteroid City, Barbie, Air, Killers of the Flower Moon, The Iron Claw, Blackberry, Wonka, The Holdovers, Oppenheimer, and American Fiction.
And Brian.
Brian, what about you?
My number 10 was Creed 3, Past Lives, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, American Fiction, Godzilla Minus One, The Iron Claw, and my top three are The Holdovers, Barbie, and Oppenheimer.
Most surprising movie for me this year, I already mentioned it, but it was Blackberry. Without a doubt. Mm. Most surprised I've been about a movie in quite some time. That's mine. What was your most surprising movie, Richard?
Mine was surprised that I liked it as much as I did, and that's The Creator.
Yeah. I didn't think you would mention that one in the top of the year at all, and you did. So
yeah, it was in my honorable mentions. Yeah.
That's a surprise. What about you, Brian?
I think I'll go with Godzilla.
Yeah,
top five movie that I don't even know if I knew it was coming out towards the beginning of the year. I don't usually watch a ton of foreign language movies, even if they involve Godzilla. So for that to be a movie that I loved so much, and for it, and on top of that being just, again, the content of a Godzilla movie was quite a surprise and a lovely one at that.
And my MVP of the year, I'm just going law of averages here. This is a person that was in multiple of my top 10 movies. So that was the criteria I went on. So my MVP Matt Damon. The guy's killing it.
Okay.
I mean, what can I say? The guy's still at the top of his game.
He's the best.
Yeah. He was in Air and Oppenheimer, by the way.
He's got a crime movie directed by Affleck coming out soon, too. They're starting to film on.
Sounds good.
That's how they both should be used.
Own the Night 2 or whatever? No. What was that one he did?
The Accountant 2. It's The Accountant 2. And he meets the HR guy. Matt Damon's the HR guy. The accountant and the HR guy start killing. My MVP is...
Rival killers.
Yeah, my MVP is just a combined Barbieheimer.
No, that's smart.
The marketing department behind Barbenheimer.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It paid for a lot of stuff this year, which is good. We need those. We need either Tom Cruise or Barbieheimer. It'll be interesting to see what it is this summer. What is going to be the thing that is the... revenue generator for all the Oscar movies, for theaters to stay open. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we shall find out.
Hopefully we find out.
Hopefully there's something. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was really fun. Again, recapping the year. And fellas, as of now, officially turning the page to 2024 movies. So on the main feed from now on, we'll probably be talking 2024 unless it's Oscar related. Make sure you hit subscribe. Thanks for being here. Let us know your favorite movies of the year. Send us your Letterboxds. Find us on Letterboxd. I'm Kent Garrison. Brian's BGill12, I think, maybe, or Brian Gill, something like that.
Brian Gill.
And Richard.
Yeah, that's one of the few that I could actually
is, get my name. Yeah. At Vince Richard McMahon Brown. Fan 21.
Yes.
And follow us there. Follow us all over the social medias. And please stay with us as we head into 2024. If you want to be a Discord member, though, I shall say before we get out of here, Brian mentioned it. A lot of people in the Discord talking movies all the time. So if you want people to, chime in on things you're watching give their opinions. Discord, our Discord is a great place for that. And, you know, a lot of like-minded individuals just hanging out talking movies. So if that sounds like something you'd be into, madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. All right, we'll see you next time at the Cinema.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me ya-ya. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.